up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, guess what day it is?
Yeah, it's NBA trade deadline day. All right, so all eyes are on the New Orleans Pelicans. And you know what's so funny? All the eyes are on the Pelicans, and the Pelicans may not do anything with Anthony Davis. All of the speculation, who's in play for Anthony Davis? Who's going to be making the big move today to land him? The Pelicans may not do anything. They may wait till this summer to see how the offers get even bigger and better. Have they went out and asked for an outrageous amount from the Lakers? Of course they did. I don't think they want to capitulate to Anthony Davis's camp in sending him to Los Angeles unless they can absolutely fleece the Lakers for everything they possibly can. But in reality, look, today is a day that you got a lot of other guys that are possibly on the move. The Memphis Grizzlies, for example, could be parting ways with Mike Conley, Marc Gasol. There's a number of players out there that could be on the move. But all of the focus is going to be on Anthony Davis, and can he get to the Lakers? Can he get to pair up with LeBron James? There are some other teams that are going to be in play. One team, because I'm kind of close to them, is the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets would like to make a move for Anthony Davis, maybe offer Jamal Murray, maybe offer a couple of other kind of pieces, obviously, to that, a pick, you know, and a couple Trey Lyles, et cetera. But if you're Denver, I would be really careful. And here's why. You don't know if Anthony Davis is going to stick around and play in the Mile High City. He still wants LeBron, and he still wants Los Angeles. So this is going to be a really tough sell for Denver to get Anthony Davis long term past 2020, if indeed they want to borrow him for a bit. But what Denver is putting together is so unique in the NBA. Being able to win games, being a competitive team in the Western Conference without a major superstar on their roster. Nikola Jokic, probably the closest one on that team. They're doing it in a different way. Are they capable of beating a team like Golden State in a 7-game series? Not really. I don't think they can do that. Anthony Davis would help them do that. But what they're building right now, if they land Davis and disrupt this and Davis leaves, it's going to be very difficult for them to recreate what they're doing right now. And what they're doing right now is working. If I was Denver, I'd be careful. Improve what you have, because what you have is one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Anthony Davis would make you better, but after he leaves, you may be left with nothing. Be very careful.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday. This is Bon Jovi, of course, Living on a Prayer. And this is, we have a very unique celebration today. I thought this was really great. Ron's brilliance in what this anniversary, Dennis Connor winning the America's Cup in 1987.
Woo!
Wow.
Bringing it back.
Pretty awesome. That was so I'm assuming because it was a February boat race, it was down in Australia.
I'm assuming.
Well, they were assuming it's summer down there. And then he brought America's Cup home.
Or New Zealand, one of the two.
Maybe New Zealand, one of the two. Wherever.
Maybe it was just sailing around the islands.
I remember as a young man, Dennis Connor was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, with Ronald Reagan.
I think he was on with Ronald Reagan. I don't know anything about sailing.
Don't you remember this being a big deal?
It was a big deal. It was a very, very big deal. And I had no idea what it was. I had no idea. It was a huge deal in 87 that Dennis Connor won the America's Cup.
I thought it was America's Cup. You know, it was just something we always had.
Right? Why are we giving that away?
Why are we getting it back? We should always have this.
Are we good at America's Cup? I don't even know when in the America's Cup is anymore. Apparently, we don't win it enough because it was a big deal in 87.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going on, right?
Is it the, I don't even know. Is it the Olympics? Is it like every 4 years or is it every single year? I don't know.
How that's a good question.
So that's what we're celebrating today. In 1987, congratulations, Dennis Connor, winning America's Cup, bringing it back home. When they say bringing it back home, it's like, was it ours to begin with? I have no idea. All right, so today is the trade deadline. You excited? Maybe a little Anthony Davis in the news for your Lakers?
I mean, you know, it's waiting at the, it's like watching Speed.
Exactly.
You know, you're just sitting at the edge of your seat waiting for the bomb to blow up, waiting for the bus to blow up.
Oh, goodness. It'd be interesting.
I'm just curious. I mean, if it does happen, I'm just curious, you know, what have the Lakers? I mean, is it just going to be Anthony Davis and LeBron on the Lakers?
Yeah, I know, right? I asked the same thing. Like, so what do you do when you give up half of your roster to get this player? What happens?
I mean, is
you have to start calling people up from the G League? All of a sudden signing people just off the street to fill out the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, is there an NBA rule where you have to have 12 people on the bench?
You just got to go with two. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, because this is what they offered. They had offered Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, two first-round picks, and picking up Davis and Solomon Hill. That's a lot of players to give away for two players, even though one is Anthony Davis. So how do you fill out the roster? You just got to go around grabbing other people as much as you possibly can. All right, so I don't know. If I'm a betting guy, and I'm not, I think Anthony Davis stays put right now. I think the Pelicans wait. I think the Pelicans are waiting this out. I think they're looking for the best offer, and they're going to have people take their time and process this in the best way possible. And I think he's going to be jettisoned over the summer. And I think it'll probably be to Los Angeles when Los Angeles goes, okay, let's sit down and talk. I think New Orleans is not being unreasonable, but at the same time, I think they're pulling off the great negotiating ploy, which is just ask for a bunch and see who bites. Ask for everything and see who will come to you. And then you go from there. It's like having a house. You want to sell it for $300,000? All right. Maybe you won't get that. But you'll ask for it. See if somebody bites. Then if they don't, go $290, $285, $287. So in this situation, I think New Orleans is playing that kind of game where you're like, nah, we want everything. All right, wait a minute. I don't want to give you everything. All right, well, we want everything. Then other teams don't give out and they say, all right, we'll take a little less. We'll take a little less than that. We'll see. If LeBron James pulls this off, though, and I think he will, getting Anthony Davis to the Lakers, he's got to be, if not now, and he's got to be the biggest power broker ever in the history of sports, right, in terms of being able to manipulate who and what his team is consisted of. Like, I don't think of anybody else in sports like I think of LeBron James and his ability to sort of create whatever he wants around him. Right? Major League Baseball players can't do this. Like you can tell your management you'd like this guy or that guy, but we don't see a power broker in Major League Baseball. We never saw Derek Jeter be like, Derek Jeter wants these guys around him, right? If anything, he didn't want A-Rod, and he still got A-Rod, right? We don't see it. Obviously, in football, it's completely different. You really have no wiggle room in football to demand any sort of player acquisition. You could try, but it's very hard. It's complex with the cap and everything. I don't know much about the NHL and how that works in terms of getting players around you. So LeBron's the biggest power broker in sports in terms of being able to go, yeah, he manipulates things. He's like, again, he's like playing chess. He goes to the Lakers. He knows Davis would like to go. He knows that Davis can go in 2020. He goes to the Lakers anyway. He's already got this all figured out. He's got this way figured out before he knows where everybody is at all times. You know how crazy the trade deadline was yesterday? Harrison Barnes got traded in the middle of a game. He scored 10 points, and they traded him to Sacramento in the middle of a game.
Yeah, he should have scored 12.
I know, right? Oh, too bad. It's like, we want Harrison Barnes. Well, he's kind of he's busy, right? Well, get him off the court. And they had to get him off the court, right? Because you know in trade deadlines, it's always like you go to a game on the trade deadline or day before the trade deadline, and you're like, man, I can't wait to see Joe Smith. Can't wait to see him tonight. And then they're like,
well, that's why it's curious about what the Pelicans are going to do. I mean, the Pelicans are they're benching Anthony Davis right now.
Yeah, he can play. He's been cleared to practice. He's had an injured finger. When they had the injured finger, they said a week. It's been three, okay, since he hurt it. Now, granted, I can see the initial diagnosis. Maybe it'll take a little longer. But once Davis announced he wanted to be traded, they're shutting him down. They're shutting that down because you can't risk it. He's a valuable entity right now in the cog of your development. If you're the Pelicans in terms of getting whatever pieces you want to get which I still think is a fruitless cause, but nevertheless, and they're not going to use him at all. But when you go to these games at the trade deadline and you see a certain player not playing, he's not even suited up, you go, oh, well, yeah, he's not. He's getting traded tomorrow, or he's getting traded at the end of the game. They've already informed him. Harrison Barnes went into the game last night thinking, all right, let's just play basketball. And they're like, yeah, come here. What? What, coach? What do I do wrong? Nothing. Get out. Just
go clean out your locker.
Go see the guy. He's got your final check and your papers. You're gonna be taken off to Sacramento.
Who was it? There was a guy in baseball who got traded that way.
And
he actually ended up playing for two games for two different teams.
Shoot,
like Dave Kingman?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was Dave. I think you might be right. I think it was Dave Kingman.
I think it went from the Mets to the Expos or something like that.
Yeah.
God. How crazy is that? Crazy. Like, just throw you on a new team. Yeah, go out there. I guess you can in baseball. I mean.
Yeah, you can do that in baseball.
Imagine doing that in basketball.
So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen today? I don't know. Like if you.
You know what I think what happens? I mean, we hype it up all the time. No big names ever really get traded.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's kind of where I was going at. These are the days, and I hate to say it, but these are the days, and Major League Baseball gets like this too, where we have so much we want to talk about and possibilities that we want to explore. But in the end, very little of everything we talk about is brought to fruition. Right. There are some times where the rumor is so deep and it's so entrenched that it happens and we're not surprised. But what we do and this is kind of an inside media kind of thing, is that we get a situation in baseball, like we got a trade deadline. Okay, we got Major League Baseball trade deadline or NBA trade deadline or whatever. And then we say, here are all the cool scenarios that could happen, or here's a rumor that I'm hearing, or here's something I think could play out that would benefit both sides. And you start writing it, and you start processing it, and you do it a couple of weeks in advance, and you start putting it all together. And then when the day comes, there's very reluctant people. Teams are reluctant to pull the trigger. Sometimes it's more quiet than we think. Sometimes those trades that you suggest do happen. But at the same time, why do I get the feeling that this is not going to be a huge day that we think? Now, we could come back tomorrow morning, Ron, and be like, holy cow, boy, the whole league is now shaken up, right? Mike Conley's over here. Anthony Davis went over here. This guy, right? The whole list of teams that are on the move would be interesting. But at the same time, I'm wondering if we're just, slow down.
Yeah, but most of the time, it's Harrison Barnes going to someplace.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying trades won't happen.
Iman Shumpert came to the Rockets.
Yeah.
It's like, is that really such a big deal? All I really know about Iman Shumpert is that he had a really cool kid and play flat top.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he not? Yeah,
that's
right.
He had the high flat top.
He did. He had the high flat top.
You're I don't know if he still does, but it just, back to our era with kid and play.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was, though. I can't know if it was a kid or play.
Past my life. It's an era gone by.
They gave us a great dance and some cheesy movies.
That's right.
And I guess they had some hits along the way.
That is right. So there, look, the Kristaps Porzingis trade happened last week. That's obviously the biggest, probably the biggest one so far. What do you mean, obviously? It is the biggest one so far. Who am I kidding? Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, got traded to Dallas, right? We'll see where that goes. But, if Davis is on the move, today, that would be the biggest deal. And we'll see where he goes. I don't know. You brought up you brought up something really funny yesterday, or something really interesting about the New Orleans Pelicans and their reaction to the Lakers that I think needs to be expressed. So we'll have that for you next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape this winter. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Grooving out to the tunes of Madonna, 1987. Number one in 1987. Before the controversy. Madonna was a good-looking lady back in the 80s, wasn't she? Man, she really was.
All you have to do, if you know, you millennials out there have, all you know is Madonna's being this older woman, just Google Madonna MTV performance.
Oh, I know. That's all you have to do. You don't have to say what it is. You don't have to tell you what it is. Do you realize how unbelievably controversial that was at the time?
Yes.
People were watching that. When she did Like a Virgin on stage at the MTV Music Awards, people were like...
They lost it.
Could we do... Like, MTV were like, can we be running? Should we be putting this on the air? Like, what is... Somebody... just let this go.
Yeah, and now? It's like, what? It's nothing.
Nothing. But back then, was 84 she did that? 83? Early 80s.
Yeah.
She did Like a Virgin on MTV. She was like her coming out party. And then she exploded. After that, she exploded. I mean, it was crazy. She's a very, very smart woman, too. She's a very, very smart business lady. You know, she really knows what she's doing. So I was everybody who's ever done business with her always comes away going, man, she really is smart. She knows the business. She knows how to market herself. She knows how to do everything. So I've always been impressed by that. So anyway, we are celebrating Dennis Conner's America's Cup win in 87. I'm going to laugh all morning with that. You know that, right?
Yeah,
it's just
the funniest
celebration that we've ever done for Throwback Thursday.
You know what it is? You know why it's called America's Cup? I had to look it up.
Okay, go ahead. Give us, because this is the sailing race.
This is the sailing race.
I don't know anything
about. The reason why it's called America's Cup is because it was a ship, a boat. What do you call them? A yacht, I guess.
A clipper. I don't know.
But the ship that won, the clipper that won, was based out of England.
Oh, okay.
But it was called America.
Oh, okay.
So
how
that's
nice.
Why it's America's Cup.
Very nice.
See, we learned something today.
We did learn something today. It's
and
awesome.
I believe it is still held.
That's awesome. We had a... That's great. I think it is still held.
And Dennis Conner brought it back to America.
Yeah, he did. Got on the cover of Sports Illustrated, too. So you yesterday had this very interesting theory as to why the Pelicans are playing hardball with the Lakers.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, that's really good theory. If you like those kind of conspiratorial angles, I like this one. So go ahead, explain your thought process.
Okay, well, we all know the Pelicans are really, really trying to stick it to the Lakers.
Right.
Right. I mean, they're asking for, they're asking for all the draft picks from here for the next, 10 years.
They want everything.
For Anthony Davis.
Everything.
Plus, they want all the young talent. And leaving the Lakers with just maybe four people on the bench. Plus right. LeBron and Anthony Davis. My theory is that New Orleans is really, really butthurt over L.A. because of the NFC Championship game.
I think you might be right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think if it was Detroit, right? Do you really think they would ask this much out of Detroit? They'd be like, oh, sure, go ahead.
They'd be like, all right, just leave it anyway.
Have fun.
What do you want to offer?
If it's Atlanta, go ahead, take it. We should have been there.
Yeah.
But I think since it's L.A., they're like, no.
No.
You guys.
Yeah, because you're right. If you're the Pelicans, you can't look bad in that deal with the Lakers.
No, but you got to take one. I mean, they're trying to earn the Saints a Super Bowl trip right now.
Yeah, let's say you make a trade for Anthony. Let's say you're the Pelicans brass and you make the trade with Anthony Davis. But let's say all the guys that break this stuff down, right? All the reporters, the national guys, they go, oh, the Lakers got the better end of that deal. Like you can't. You can't do that to the people of New Orleans.
I'm just curious if there's a conversation or dialogue in there. It's like, yes, give us three first rounders, three second rounders. Throw in Aaron Donald. Let's see. We also want Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, right. that's right. Yes. And Clayton Kershaw. Can you give us Clayton Kershaw?
Wow, they don't. We don't have a baseball team,
but so what? He'll pitch for LSU. We don't care. We just don't want you to have him.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. You might be right. The Pelicans are like, we cannot lose to Los Angeles. So, like, some guy at the Ringer is writing, like, how we got fleeced in the deal by the Lakers. That's just bad optics for the city.
Yep. L.A., Boston owns L.A. in recent history. L.A. owns New Orleans. You
exactly.
can't have that.
No. We want to strip the Lakers down to the core. If you want Anthony Davis, you basically are giving up your entire team. My God.
In fact, you know what? That sign that you have hanging above Hollywood, we want that.
We want that. We want that. And yeah, exactly. I like the way you said yesterday, and we want Jack Nicholson, too. We want Jack Nicholson yeah. at Smoothie King Center, sitting courtside watching Pelicans basketball games. It's great. Oh, goodness. Can we have Diane Cannon, too? Is she still kicking around?
Yeah, she still hangs out. You know.
She was a huge Laker fan when I was a young kid. Is she still go to games, you think?
I'm pretty sure she still does, but you know, they'll probably say, you know, you can keep the Kardashians.
Tell me, what do you know about Bill? Yeah, keep the Kardashians. What do you know about Billy Crystal with the Clippers? Does he own part of that team or like a little portion of it? I don't think he does.
I didn't realize he was a Clippers fan.
I thought he was a Clippers fan.
He might be. I just thought he's a Yankee fan.
I'm sorry. Nope. I'm sorry. He owns part of, or he did. I don't know if he still does. I'm sorry. That was totally my fault. He owns part of the Diamondbacks.
Does he really?
He owned part of the Diamondbacks. I don't know if he still does. I mean, but in the 2001 World Series, he had a little piece. I mean, he's not like a major player, but he had a little piece of the Diamondbacks. And he was rooting for obviously his Yankees to win the World Series, but he like famously said it was like a win-win for him either way. Like if the Diamondbacks would won. I'm sorry. He's a Clipper fan. He was like a season ticket holder. He has no partial interest in the Clippers.
A little secret. You know, a lot of people are season ticket holders for the Clippers because those tickets are always cheaper, even though it's in the same building.
I got to be honest with you. If I had the means in LA, I'd be a Clippers season ticket holder too, right? Because I like NBA basketball, so I'd want to see the teams that come in. And
yeah, that was the running joke. I mean, it was like half the price as Laker tickets. You get to see, you know, like when the Bulls come in, or
yeah, that's right.
You know, like Michael Jordan play, or you know, a young LeBron James. That's why you had Clippers tickets.
You're so funny because when I was covering the Rockies when they were really bad, you know, everyone was talking about how, you know, Barry Bonds, a disgrace to baseball. No, he wasn't for marketing. Rockies would sell these ticket packages because, you know, they stunk. So it was an idea. It was come see these teams play, like come see the Cubs, come see whoever. And Barry Bonds, the Giants were always the bigger ticket price, like with the bigger elite ticket package because of Barry Bonds. Yeah, you're right. It's just you market the teams that come in rather than the team itself, and you can get people in for that. You can totally get people in for that. Nuggets did that for years when they were bad before Carmelo Anthony. Come see Jordan, right? The Bulls are coming into town on Friday. You know, Kobe's coming in on Saturday, right? That's how you sell it. I would totally do it if I was in LA, because yeah, Clippers Laker tickets are way too expensive, and you could get good bang for your buck and some entertainment with Clipper tickets. Go see, Giannis Antetokounmpo or whatever.
Yeah, they were always, I mean, it was always, you know, the big thing, like a lot of my college buddies did was get the Big Ten game package.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, something like that. And you just chose, you know, big, you know, your 10 games, and you would literally, you wouldn't be there to see the Clippers. You'd be there to see everyone else coming into town.
Yeah, exactly. And that's even what people do where I live with Vanderbilt football. Vanderbilt football is not worthy of, you know.
Nah, you just want to see the big schools.
Every now and then Alabama might come to town. You never know when the schedule plays out. See them. Right? Yeah. I told this story. Did I tell this story on the air about Oklahoma and Air Force that time? When
I don't know. I'll tell it again.
I'll tell it again. What the heck? Oklahoma, you know, they have a huge fan base and they have a big, huge following. So they got into home and home with Air Force years ago. And so when it was time for Air Force to host Oklahoma, Air Force did, you know, they said, listen, you can't buy the Oklahoma ticket. If you want to buy the Oklahoma game, you have to buy season tickets. And Air Force tickets are pretty cheap. So at the start, the game starts and the audience, the crowd is all Oklahoma fans. The whole stadium is red. It's Oklahoma fans. And after the game, my friends who were there said, you would just find these Oklahoma people walking through parking lots, and anybody who had an Air Force hat or a jacket or a shirt, they were like, hey, you got season tickets? You do now. Here you go. And then they leave. They bought season tickets for one game, traveled to Colorado Springs, saw them play, and then handed ticket books out to anybody that was Air Force fans, going, yeah, we had to buy these ridiculous season tickets to get the one game. But we did. Here you go. Take them. That's how loyal the Oklahoma Sooners fan were to travel to one game with their team. They bought season tickets and then handed them out for free. That's kind of cool. I wish I did that once. That's kind of neat. I might do that with Vanderbilt season tickets. Buy one for my South Carolina Gamecocks and then hand them to some Vanderbilt kid outside the stadium. That might be a good thing to do. All right, coming up, yesterday was a big day, but why? Next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Throwback Thursday. This is Genesis. What's the name of the song? It's Land of Confusion?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say to you, and you told me in the during the break, you said this is Genesis, not Phil Collins. I was going to ask you, is this Genesis? Because Phil Collins was having a solo career, too, around this time, wasn't he? But
or
this
shortly
is Genesis.
After, I mean,
around
this middle of it.
But this was, and this was the strangest video of any video of that time. It was they used a series of puppets that were called Spitting Image, and they were these weird kind of grotesque looking puppets of famous people, and like Reagan was in it, and the Ayatollah was in it, and like Gorbachev was in it. It was all pretty much 80s references. But it was a very bizarre video, and the puppets were kind of weird.
Yeah, so, almost nightmarish.
Yeah, very nightmarish. Exactly, it was really freaky.
Like if you have a fear of clowns, then this is right up your alley.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. This was not your thing. If you have a fear of clowns, get away from this. Don't watch it. But you pretty much can catch it on YouTube, of course.
Or face your fears and do.
Yeah, just watch it. Like just grip, watch it. So yesterday, you know what yesterday was? National Signing Day. Did you get caught up in National Signing Day?
Didn't we already have that?
We did. We had early signing day, and now we have National Signing Day. This is where everything is like official, where they actually sign. I guess before it was early signing day. I don't know. I get confused. So I said this before.
Land of Confusion.
Yeah, except Land of Confusion is right. I said this before. This is an important day, but it's overhyped. It's important because... Listen, in order to be good at college football, you need good players. This is how you get good players, right? You got to go recruit, and you got to get them to sign. And these sites that rate these guys, maybe some are off, but some are not off. And if you can land that player that changes your program, you can change your program. Clemson is going to be a national championship contender now for the next couple of years because they got Trevor Lawrence and other teams did not. They were good anyway, but now they got better. Alabama is good every single year because they win this day, or they come close to winning this day. Now, Rivals.com, for example, had Georgia winning out on National Signing Day. I'm sure if you peruse other sites, maybe one or two that do this for a living, maybe one or two said Alabama, who came in second at Rivals.com. Maybe they think Alabama won this day. It all, you know, it is subjective, and it is you know, analytical from a standpoint of taking high school talent and evaluating them. It's a hard job to do. I think that the guys who do that, who rate high school players, it is difficult. I've done plenty of high school football games in my life, for example. And one of the things that happens is a lot of times is, at least for me, is we'll be following some school in a certain division. And there'll be one or two players in that league that just stand out. They're better than everybody else. They're just bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. You know, through geography and where they live, they happen to be playing, you know, for this school. And you can look at them and say, man, they've got size, they've got speed, they've got talent, and they're playing completely inferior competition. And then you're kind of curious what that individual would do at the next level, how he would progress if he were to play for Tennessee or play for Colorado or Vanderbilt or, you know, whoever that he would play for, Alabama. It's hard too when you watch the competition and you're like, well, he's going up against this level. These kids aren't bigger, you know, not as big and strong and fast. And it's hard to evaluate. But these guys do it for a living. They've got a science. They know size. They know speed. They know how this would project. That's why they get rated the way they get rated. They watch this kind of film. They talk to coaches. They talk to people. There's a lot of homework that gets involved. So I never dismiss it like other people do. I don't think it's a waste of time. They provide a pretty good service. They're doing pretty well. Recruiting subscriptions are a big business for those people who are into this. I know people there that will spend money to be part of a message board system for their school where they get a yearly subscription to get access to this kind of thing. The only problem that we have with National Signing Day, it is because it's the great unknown. We don't really know anything. And yet we talk as if we know stuff. And it's a difficult conversation to have. I live in Nashville. I live in the Southeast. This is a big deal. This thing is a big, big, big deal. But you, when I've talked to people, whether they're Gator fans within my family or Tennessee fans that are my friends, or even South Carolina fans that are, you know, I'm close to because of my ties to that school, we always talk about these players that nobody really knows. Right. Marcus Latimer is a perfect example. Marcus Latimer went to Burns High School in South Carolina. Now, people in South Carolina knew Marcus Latimer was fantastic. But how do you translate that if you're having a conversation about the Gamecocks' future with Marcus Latimer to some guy in Colorado who's never saw him play and has no idea who he is? It's a hard conversation to have. So if you're convincing somebody, hey, I think Florida is going to have a great year. Why? Well, in the next couple of years, they've really got this young quarterback that they're going to develop. He's going to be a real stud. Really? Who is he? Mike Smith. I've never heard of him. I don't know anything about him. Oh, he's going to be great. How do you know? To be honest with you, I don't. I just think he will be. That's all we have for National Signing Day. That's really it. So it's really important, but we don't know where the importance is. Like, It's kind of the same with the draft, but on a different level. Like with the draft, we have a lot of tape and we have a lot of information, and it's smaller, right? So Saquon Barkley goes to the Giants. Well, we see him in college. We've seen him a lot in college. We kind of know who he is. We kind of know what kind of player he is. We know the Giants have this need. We know the Giants can do this, this, and this. We think it's going to be a good fit. We think that's going to work out, right? That's when we get the draft, that's the kind of analysis that we can do. We know these players. And, you know, even when you get to day 4, 5, and 6, you can still know those players. But in high school, it's too broad. It's too much. So you have to, and I talk about this all the time. You know, back in the old days, a coach would tell you they had a good recruiting class, and you just take their word for it. What were you going to do? Go through the microfiche of these high school games in Pennsylvania because Bear Bryant told you it was going to be a great class? Or Joe Paterno years and years and years ago would tell you he had a great class? You just trusted the coach. But now, forget it. Now, when a coach says he's got a great class, he's got to answer to the university if he doesn't. Because if Rivals tells you you have a top three class in 2019 and you give a year of development, maybe two, that administration is expecting something. Because Rivals just told the world you hit a home run. So you better hit a home run. Now coaches are being judged on this. You want to read a good book on this? Bruce Feldman wrote a great book called Meat Market. And it was Ed Orgeron when he was at Ole Miss. You want to talk about the pressure of recruiting. You want to talk about the panic of recruiting and what these guys go through when they're not game planning. It is 24/7 all the time. When you are on these coaching staffs, you have to think about recruiting even when you're game planning. You're always thinking about recruiting. You're always thinking about the next guy, evaluating his talent. When can we talk to him? How do we talk to him when we can? You know, what's the dead period? What's the start? All of those things that were laid out in this book were just mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing to me. So listen, you're going to hear a lot of people say this is irrelevant, it's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. It's very important. It's a very, very important day for college football. Listen, you land a Trevor Lawrence, you're going to be pretty good, right? If you hit on a Jadeveon Clowney like South Carolina did, it could mean three straight 11-win seasons like it was for my school. It was great. It was probably the highlight of South Carolina football in over 100 years of playing the sport. Was the time that Latimer and Clowney, it was just a special time for Gamecock football. We haven't seen it again, but it was because Spurrier was winning those battles. Spurrier was winning the in-state battles for good quality talent. You want to talk about a school that changed its fortune? Urban Meyer convincing Tim Tebow to sign with Florida when Alabama wanted him, when Alabama was making a real hard push for him. Sometimes these decisions change the course of your school and give you a national championship contender. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. And when they don't, coaches have gotten canned for this. When the expectations are so much higher than what is the result of the product. Because you can't really convince boosters and fan bases that Rivals or any of these other places are dead wrong when it came to evaluating the high school level talent. If these sites tell their fan base,
Yep.
Number one recruiting class. Kirby Smart's got that now. Now, Kirby Smart's been able to take some real, you know, he's got some currency going on at Georgia. He's, you know, won the SEC East, played in an SEC championship game, played in the national championship game, right? But they've got the number one class going in 2019. That means the success has to continue. Now, Kirby Smart's probably not going to go anywhere because of that, but the expectation is, yeah, everyone says we did really well at this, and since I don't know, I'm going to take their word for it, and because I can't evaluate this stuff on my own, somebody else is, and therefore, you better produce. Because this third party is telling me we've got players. And to be honest with you, that's really the only way we know. Every single time somebody tells me about a high school player, I always, always doubt where they're getting that information. When somebody tells me, man, we've got a linebacker, I swear, he runs a 40 faster than anybody I've ever seen. And his ability to get over outside the pocket, get to inside the pocket from the outside, something, I doubt he saw 1 second of film. He is barring that. He is stealing that. He is taking that from somewhere else. I just doubt the level of commitment some of these people say they claim when talking about watching high school film and scouting it. But these, it's a new game. It's a new world with the kind of analysis that you're getting. So again, yesterday was a big deal. It was a big, but we overhyped this so much. We've made it to a sports holiday, and it doesn't deserve to be a sports holiday. It should be, yep, okay, National Signing Day. Here are some of the, you know, this team got this many 5-star players. This could be 4-star players. What does it mean? We'll see. We'll see. And that's it. And now it's become a game. You'll see trash talking between schools based on what some third-party ranking is talking about. You know, you'll see people post, glad we beat so-and-so in the recruiting game. Says who? Well, said X, Y, and Z. Okay, all right, great. If that's what you want, that's what you want. That's great. It's become that kind of a game. So, again, National Signing Day yesterday. And Georgia won, apparently. Georgia was the big winner. By the way, the top three teams were in the SEC. No surprise. Alabama was second. LSU was third. Texas, I think, was fourth, which is pretty good. 800-777-2907 is the number. It's SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Kersing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, when I was a kid, I remember going out with my dad before a big freeze and checking the antifreeze in our cars. Because back in the 60s, antifreeze or coolant had to be changed every year or two. In this era, most people don't even think about their cooling system. When was the last time you had your coolant and radiator hoses checked? Most leave it to the oil change guy to check that stuff, and that's great, as long as they really do it. Antifreeze or coolant is supposed to last 5 years. Maybe it does in a perfect world, but I've seen 4-year-old cooling systems filled with rust. I change mine every 3 years, because when the additives in your antifreeze or coolant wear out, the pH level changes and it corrodes the system it's really supposed to protect. And this could get really expensive, folks, but what's not expensive is reminding your shop to check it for you. Best of all, most will do it for free. This is Mike Kersing with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I gotta let this one process a bit. I know this song, but I don't know who sings this. Is this air supply or something?
No, you're getting warmer.
Sticks.
It's a city.
Boston.
Yeah, the city.
Chicago.
There you go.
How did I not know this? I should have known this.
That's Peter Cetera.
That's right.
Come on, that's a recognizable voice.
This is a ballad. This is a power ballad, isn't it?
Of course.
As I used to call back in the day.
Didn't they all do, weren't all their songs power ballads?
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd make a rock album or fun album, then you'd have to throw one of these things in. That's right. 87, we're celebrating 87. Who won the NBA title in 87? The Lakers.
Of course.
The Celtics. Who won the World Series in 87?
Wasn't that the Twins?
I think it was the Twins. I think you're right. I think you're right with the Twins. Super Bowl in January of 87, that would have been the Giants. The season of 87 would have been the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who else am I missing? Stanley Cup. I don't know who won the Stanley. I'm just not a hockey guy. I wish I was. I don't know who won the Stanley Cup in 87. I'm going to guess the Edmonton Oilers. How about that?
You're probably right.
Probably right in 1987. For some reason, I know the Calgary Flames won in 88.
So do I. Isn't that weird?
Somehow, I know
I
that.
Think because it went to the Olympics in Calgary in 88?
I think it might have been. Yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah, the Olympics were in Calgary in 88. You're right. Somehow, I know that, but I don't know 87. I'm going to just guess Edmonton. SB Nation AM.